Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews is a book written to the Hebrews. Very good. Most scholars believe Paul wrote it. Seems to walk with most of Paul's doctrinal understanding. So we're going to say and believe that Paul wrote the thing. And the book basically is taking the Hebrews through understanding of what was done in Christ Jesus and how their religion, how their belief system has changed since the coming of the Lord Jesus and since He died on the cross and since He rose from the dead and redeemed them and became their Messiah. He was sent as their Messiah. He was the fulfillment of every feast. He was the fulfillment of every festival. He was the fulfillment of the serpent having his head crushed and the fulfillment of the Son of God crushing the serpent's head. Amen? And bruising his heel. So Father, we just magnify you this morning. We come before you with glorious praise and thanksgiving. We thank you for the worship that we come with, Lord God, because you have transformed us and you're making us new. You've already made us new from the heart, but now you're making us new from the soul. You're transforming us daily, causing us to die daily to the flesh so that the Spirit might reign in fullness in this life. So we thank you that as we study the Word of God, that you bring to us daily new revelation, which sets us free and causes us not to walk under guilt nor condemnation, but causes us to walk in joy unspeakable and full of glory, knowing that the flesh does not rule over us any longer. So we thank you, Lord God, for your purposes. We thank you for your finished work. And we believe that you are constantly causing in us that finished work to be made manifest. We believe it, and we declare it according to your promise. In Jesus' name, amen. All right? I've told you before to make a devotional, really, out of Psalm 119. Psalm 119, there's a wonderful devotional. Let's see if we add it up right. 12, 13, 14. You can almost get through the whole year and just meditate on one verse of Psalm 119. Amen? If you find another good one you like, you might do it twice. But Psalm 119 will just give you, it's like a vitamin pill to meditate upon every morning. All right? If you like a promise box, that's a good one. Psalm 119. It's almost in the middle of your Bible. It's pretty easy to find. And it'll just set you free because it's not as most of the Psalms. We're going to get to Hebrews. Don't worry. It's not as most of the Psalms because it's written in the parable form. So you have basically a statement and answer almost. And so I'd encourage you to do that. And I'm not going to go there right this minute, but one of the things I mentioned this morning was when it says, it was good for me when I was afflicted. I believe it's like verse 67 in Psalm 119. It says, good for me when I was afflicted. When I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I hope in your word. That's all, man, that's all you need. Amen? That's powerful. That's a blessing. You just meditate on it. See, you can take those scriptures and you can just read over them, just run roughshod over things. Anybody do that when you're reading the scripture? Oh, I'm trying to get my word in today. I'm trying to get my scripture read. Well, you know what? You might ought to just trip over one verse. Just one verse. You're trying to get through the Bible. Maybe God's just trying to get through to you one thing today. One thing. I love you. Not that I love you when you read my word, you know, all the way through. But I love you. I love you. That's what he's saying to you. Amen? Okay, come on now. Well, I loved you back then when you got Jesus, but now you're going to have to shape up. No, I love you. That's what he's saying to you this morning. Amen? And he loved you in such a way that he is actually daily transforming you and making you in his image. Amen? It's not just, well, I'm saved and going to heaven. No, you're being transformed daily. No, you can live in a big mess. You can live in a big mess by believing that that's where you live. Well, you know, we're just waiting for pie in the sky by and by. Just waiting for heaven to come. And we'll just suffer through them because Jesus said, you know, we suffer and he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Well, see, the obedience not only that Jesus learned also produced in him joy. Amen? Obedience and this suffering produces joy. Listen to me. It's producing joy. You should have an expectation of living in joy, not in misery, in this world. You know, when people want to look around and see somebody who's got something. Jesus had something. Why do you think they followed him around? Huh? He had something. So you need to understand that you have the same thing. Well, I love Jim. I'm not Jesus. No, no. You are on the inside. He's come to live on the inside of you. He's come to reproduce himself on the inside of you. He said, when you lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. You cast out devils. You preach the gospel. See, when you go out, Jesus is going out. Amen? This is, you have to have an understanding of going and knowing that Jesus Christ is in the earth today. See, over in 2 Corinthians 5:16, it says, we once looked at Jesus after the flesh, but thus we regard him no longer. The very next verse says, I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We don't look at Jesus looking, well, I wish Jesus were here. We don't look at him like just a flesh guy. Well, I hope he shows up. I hope he comes in the back door, Martha and Mary, you know. Well, Jesus, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. We are kind of waiting for Jesus to show up in the service. Is he here yet? Paul, play another song. You know, we're waiting for Jesus to show up. It's like, you know, when Jim's coming over from Dallas, kind of waiting for Pastor Jim to show up at the back, you know. See if he'll... Is he here yet? No. Jesus is already here. You brought him with you. He's manifesting himself to you. Amen? You understand these things? Huh? Yeah, well, I'm going to work tomorrow. Praise God. I'm glad you're going to work tomorrow. See, you become a demonstration. See, don't forget what you've learned today when you go to work tomorrow. See, we compartmentalize so well in our society. We compartmentalize. We got church. We got home. We got work. You know, and never the three shall meet. You know, we've got to try to. We just kind of end up keeping everything separate. Yeah, it's okay. They told me I can't do that at work. So, you know, I'm just not going to rock the boat. Well, hallelujah. Go ahead and rock the boat. See, the fact is you're only one thing. You're only in Christ. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. And all things have become. And all things are of... Do you ever read the next verse? All things are of God. Old things have passed away. And all things have become new. And behold, all things are of God. Do you know all things of you are of God? I've looked in the mirror lately. Doesn't seem like everything of me is of God. Well, amen. Well, you're just looking in the wrong mirror. If you look over in James chapter 1, he tells you, don't look in that mirror. What mirror does he tell you to look in? This one here. He reminds you to look in this mirror here. See, if we keep looking at our flesh, we're gonna be depressed. We're going to be like downtrodden and downcast. Amen? You keep looking at you and your performance and what you've done, you're going to be downcast. You're going to be disappointed. Amen? But him who believes in Christ, and if you believe and put your hope on him, you will not be ashamed. You will not be, that ashamedness means disappointment. You won't be disappointed because you're not looking at you. See, if it were up to you and then you didn't do it, your disappointment it's just been natural. I mean, it's kind of required. You know, just be disappointed that you didn't make it. You want to feel bad for God. Poor God, he's just really expecting me to put out and really perform. And I just let him down again. How many know that you cannot perform? You cannot put out. Because you still have an old flesh and an old man and you out here on the outside that causes you to stumble. But here, as we come into his word, as we come in to see and meditate on what he has done in us and through us, he begins to produce it. We're thanking him for producing in me good works. I'm thanking him that he's producing it. And so I expect, and I expect to not be disappointed. Now, will I mess up? Yes, absolutely. In this flesh, I will always mess up. I will trip up. But when I do that, I come to His throne. We're going to read that in a minute. I come to His throne of grace and say, thank you, Father God, that you have redeemed me by your blood, and that I am forgiven, and that you have, and that I have sinned right here. I've sinned grievously. Lord God, I thank you that you love me and that you have paid for that, and I come to receive provision for that. I come to receive a covering for that. You know, and what that causes you to come in humility, because you don't have any access to anything of yourself. You don't have any strength. You don't have any power. Amen? So what this does is constantly keep us coming back to the throne of God. You know that's what He wants? He constantly wants me to come in. He constantly wants me to be speaking with Him as I'm going throughout the day. Not to just get tanked up at the beginning of the day or the beginning of the week and just, you know, hope it lasts. Amen? Right? Oh, God, I'm running low. I hope Wednesday comes. You know, if we had a Wednesday night service, y'all can say that. Well, we put out the big stuff. We put out the big stuff on Sunday, so you know, we expect you to last all week. We're going to be in Hebrews 4, but I want you to look at verse. Go back to chapter 1. I'm going to look at the first verse of chapter 1, and chapter 2, and chapter 3 before we get to chapter 4. Because it just is a really powerful progression here, you know. And if you read on through the chapters, it's also just wonderful. But I'll let you do that. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in the time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, by whom He also made the worlds. So in the last days, the Lord is speaking to us by His Son. Now look at chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. How many know we let things slip? How many know when trouble comes, you let things slip? It's like those offenses. You know, you didn't realize you weren't offended. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? You forgot you weren't offended. See, did Jesus get offended? By golly, you can't say that to me. Huh? Well, no, that was Jesus. No, you did it again. You keep making that distinction here. No, Jesus had to do with the fact that you could not redeem yourself. But the fact that the Holy Spirit now, and Jesus Himself, lives and dwells in you, and He is showing Himself mighty through God, through you, is that when offenses come, you don't have to be offended. Have you made that decision? Now, it doesn't mean you're not going to trip up from time to time, but you're learning to reign over this flesh. The flesh is being pushed aside. That old man, that old understanding of the reaction. You see, when you were young, you learned how to react to things. Amen? When the stove was hot and you put your hand on that, by God, whoop, you pull your hand off of there. Or you learned how to respond when somebody punched you in the face. Amen? You learn how to respond, you know. When things happen, you learn how to respond in this world. When I want some light, I go over to that light switch, wherever it is, and I flip that light on, and I have full expectation that light's going to come on. Well, if somebody punches me in the face, I have full expectation. I'm going to punch them back. Isn't that your expectation? What do you expect of you? I expect I'm going to punch them back. Well, I expect I'm going to eat too much today, you know, when I go down to Chili's or wherever I go. Or I expect I'm going to do something that my flesh is used to doing and has done all of its life. But see, now the Spirit of God is living on the inside of me, and He is transforming me out of the kingdom of this world and into the new kingdom, into the kingdom of God. We no longer live and have our dwelling place in this world, but in the kingdom of God. I just saw myself in the mirror, and I needed a shower, and by God, I can always tell when I'm living in this world and need a shower. You know, and other people can too. You see, you're confusing your outward man, your flesh, which is still here, granted, with the new man, which God has redeemed and produced a new creation. He's produced a new creation, and He is now operating through that new creation because He's living in you by the Holy Spirit. And He has begun to tell you these things. And it says here in this scripture we just read here, Hebrews 2:1, therefore we ought to give, listen to me, the more earnest heed, that means listen up, right? Give heed. You're doing something, it's like when your kids are not paying you. Pay attention! Give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. In other words, there are things that you have been given, gifts that you've been given, teachings that you've been taught, words that have been spoken, that have declared to you the new life in the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost. He says, we must give the more earnest heed to those things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. I lost it. It slipped. How many know these things can slip? Because when you have circumstances taking place, these things will slip because you're not used to using them. You know, how many know if you buy some new tool and you forget you bought it and you've been doing things the old way? What if you bought a vacuum cleaner for the first time and you've been sweeping the carpet? You know, there's a vacuum sitting over there in the corner. You know, but you just get up in the morning and you just start using, doing the old thing. See, God gave you something. There's a new gift. There's a new means of finishing the job, but you're not using the new means of finishing the job. You're just using the old means that you used to use. Well, by golly, it's kind of good enough for me. You know, it never worked. It never worked very well in the past, and you still want to hang on to it. We want to give the more earnest heed. Now, that word more there is very important for me. He says give the more earnest heed. A lot of time, we'll give heed to some other word, won't we? We might give more heed to the words which we're used to hearing than the word which is of God. We'll kind of tend to listen to the thing that we're used to getting by with, used to getting through with, or just what's almost comfortable for me, which is punching them back. We're just using that as an example, which is not trusting God for joy unspeakable and full of glory. We're used to complaining. Anybody? You know, we're kind of used to complaining and just kind of feeling bad about ourselves. Just everything that goes on. He said we must give the more earnest. We ought to. It's best if you will give the more earnest heed to the things which we have now heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Because they will. If you don't bring these things to your remembrance, Peter, Paul, they're all talking about, you know, it is my job to bring these things to your remembrance. Amen? It's my job to bring these things to your remembrance so you do not forget them. So you do not forget whom you have been made, who God has produced in you. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Let's look over to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, now he's going to talk to you. Wherefore, holy brethren, everybody raise your hand. Are you born again? Holy brethren, holy sister? Okay, about 2/3 of work, we're going to have an altar call right now. Anybody need Jesus? Anybody need to get saved today? How many born again people we have today? Know Jesus Christ, you're born and saved. James, did you? Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, so I'll get you. You don't mind, do you? You don't mind if I get you, do you? Good. Praise the Lord. See, that guy's never offended. Hallelujah. Wherefore, holy brethren, or who's he talking to? He's talking to me. I'm born again. He's talking. I think I better give the more earnest heed to this word that's fixing to come out. Wherefore, holy brethren, yes. Now he's going to tell you who you are, what you got. Partakers of the heavenly calling. How many know you're a partaker? Huh? Oh, yeah. You're a partaker of the heavenly calling. I'm at the table. You've been called to the dinner table. You're here for victuals. You're here to eat. You're a partaker of the holy heavenly calling. He's telling you to do something. Consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession. Our profession doesn't mean it means what's coming out of your mouth. What you profess. Not your job. The apostle and high priest of your profession is not being a lawyer. The apostle and high priest of your profession is the apostle and the high priest of what you say. He's the subject of your verbiage, of your word, of the words that come out of your mouth. Consider him who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. See, considering Jesus, giving the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. See, to constantly be considering, that is, consider Jesus. When circumstances arise, I'm considering him. I'm meditating on his, that is, thinking on, that is, rolling back and forth. Because he is my example. And my example is brought forward through the Holy Spirit through me. How many have the Holy Spirit? You're born again. How many know you have the Spirit of the living God living on the inside of you? Amen? This may be new to you. You've got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, and he will produce in you the life of God. No way. Yeah, way. He's producing in you the life of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Right here in this life. It's not about waiting for heaven. It's not about doing the best you can till Jesus comes back. What it is the Spirit of God living on the inside of you and producing the good works. How many know you don't produce good works? If you could have, if you could have, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. But he's now on the inside of you producing good works, not because you're trying hard, but because you are thinking on him. Here's your meditation. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are honest, all of these things, these fruit, the things that are the fruit of the Spirit, think on these things. See, a lot of us, we think on what's miserable. Anybody do that? We think about what's going wrong. You know, we can live our life thinking about what's going wrong. Amen? We can do that. Just misery. Misery just loves to just keep going. If we see somebody on television, they're as miserable as we are. So we sit down and watch that show. That's a good show. Tells me, somebody else is miserable as I am. Amen. No. Give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Okay, let's get over here into chapter 4. Let us therefore fear. Oh, I don't want to do that. Let us therefore fear. Lest a promise. Now that fear there, fear can also be, the fear of God, and I'll grant that here, Let us all feel fear, but here in particular for me, this is to be watchful. Pay attention. Let us therefore. I'm at the edge of the precipice. So I'm going to, I'm going to pay attention to where I'm at. Right? Because I could fall off. And that's why I need to give the more earnest heed. Lest any time I should slip. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. See, you want to be paying attention. Because how many know your flesh will just go off into sin? Huh? How many know your flesh will go off into sin and just unbelief? Huh? Our flesh just goes off into unbelief at the drop of a hat. Amen? It's just like, oh, man, it's just disappointment just comes and comes and comes. And it'll try to get a hold of you. Anybody ever been disappointed in people? In your wife, in your husband, your children, your mom, your dad, your boss, your pastor? Anybody ever been disappointed? Huh? Stop it. How many of those people are people? Those are people. You know, it's better to put hope in God than to trust in man. How many know that? Amen? If you put trust in man, what's going to happen? I'll be disappointed. More often than not. And even if I'm not, how much pressure am I putting on that person? Huh? How much pressure am I putting on that person to please me? Let them go. Loose them and let them go. Know that God is working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's producing in you the life of God. You believe? See, these are very simple things we're saying. He is in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. I want you to say that with me. He is in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. See, now do you believe that? See, you can just take that home and just walk around with it. You can write that on your mirror in lipstick. Now your mother may not like that. Your wife may not like it. Your husband may not like it. I don't know. Just, you know, I say that because lipstick is hard to get off, isn't it? Just write it on there. Is that write those things and keep them in front of your head. When the Jews walked around, they had these things called phylacteries. And they always put, and God said, put the word in front of you. So they got this little strap and this little leather pouch, and they just took a little piece of scripture and they just, and then they fold it up about like this. You see? Now, the thing is, they wouldn't fold it up that small. You know, they started out that way, but then what they ended up doing is something, getting something about three times that big, putting it on the front of their forehead. This is the Pharisees. And they'd wear these big things strapped around their heads, you know, just to show you that they were carrying the Word of God in front of them. What a holy man they were. What a holy man. Well, what's this an indicator of? Is the indicator is the fact that you have got the Word of God placed over your head. Amen? And that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to put His Word in preeminence in you, not your thinking. Because your thinking is stinking. Amen. My thinking is stinking. Amen. It's awful. Because I'm always being dragged back into my flesh. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. You don't just have to be 40 some odd. You can be 10. 5. How old are you? Yeah, you. Can you remember? Huh? 7? This could happen when you're 7. You can forget who you are. You can forget that you're a Christian, right? You just act like a sinner. Right? Did you ever see that? Did that ever happen at your house? Or does your brother act like a sinner? Yeah, he does. You don't? I don't buy it. I think you do too. But you know that Jesus loves you, right? And he forgives you. And you know that you're really living in Jesus and you're not a sinner. Okay, you teach him that. Hallelujah. All right, well, see, the thing is, you can be 80 or something and still have this problem. Amen? Because you still got, how many still got a wife or neighbors or something? Children, you know. You got people everywhere. Amen? Hallelujah. You just got people everywhere, and people will disappoint. But I tell you what, you just come in and you just begin to rejoice. Rejoice always, because God's provided everything. He's set you free. He loves you. He is producing in you His righteousness, His joy, His peace. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. The fruit is not the fruit of you. If you want to find out what the fruit of you, your flesh is, read a few verses above that in Galatians chapter 5. He said the works of the flesh are obvious, which are these. You know, and he gives you a big long list of lasciviousness and adulteries and all kinds of things. Well, that's you in your flesh. Amen. Such were some of you. But the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit comes through one thing. It doesn't come through effort and strength. It comes through believing. The fruit of the Spirit comes in revelation and rest and rest. Say it again. In relationship with the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. That's where the fruit of the Spirit comes. It is repentance of sin and thanksgiving and coming into His presence and knowing that it's not you, but it's Him that's producing. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, that is, ceasing from your own labor and strength, that any of you should seem to come short of it. We've talked about this before. Is that if you were going to try to jump across the Grand Canyon, if you made it about 3 feet, where would you go? If you were going to jump across the Grand Canyon, and you made, how many feet across is that? Anybody know? I should know for the sermon, but I don't. Anybody know? 900 feet or something. I don't know. We'll say 900 feet. If you make it 800 feet, where are you going to go? So if you're a good Christian or a lousy Christian, if you're trying to jump across that divide that only God can span, where are you going to go? You're going to die. Amen? You're going to fail. And great will be the failure of you. Great will be the fall of it. Because it's not in you to produce good works. It's not in you to produce the life of God. Amen? You were originally created for that, but you fell. You have no capacity to produce. So Jesus Christ had to come, die, and rise again, and come and deliver His Spirit on the inside of you to produce this. And what religion has done is said, okay, now Jesus caught you up to even, so now you just kind of keep it going. Keep it going. Keep it going until I come back. Do the best you can. Keith Green used to say, do your best and pray that it's blessed and He'll take care of the rest. Well, I can believe you can be praying that it's blessed, but you know what? Doing your best is not going to produce. You know that your best, the man's best is as a filthy rag. Amen? And if you know that, that is one nasty cloth. All right? Your best, man at his very best, is unacceptable. And God doesn't count it for anything. God does not count your best. Well, then who can be saved? Well, then who can produce a good work? Only Jesus Christ. And only through the Holy Spirit living in and through you. And you're repenting day after day after day. But God's not mad at that. And you shouldn't be disappointed about it. Because in repentance, what's happening with you is you are drawing nearer and nearer, more often and more closely to the presence of God. That's His desire. His desire is not for you to get along without Him. Do the best you can until I come back. See, that's Jesus coming back in His body. But He is here, and He is in you. He is producing daily as you believe. He is producing daily as you believe. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. All of these things He's producing. So He says, let us therefore fear. Let us be aware, watchful. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. See, His desire is not for you to be striving. His desire is not for you to be working and striving and full of your own effort. But His desire is for you to rest and to let the good works of God and the joy of the Lord, which is your strength, to be produced in you and see the goodness of God manifest in your daily existence. Amen? You know you don't get offended? Did you know you don't get offended? in Christ? Yeah, but don't forget the yeah, but. You don't have to say yeah, but. You just kind of ought to, because you think you're supposed to look good. Stop it. Just to begin to agree. Agree with the things that you have heard. Amen? Begin to worship God and to thank Him. Don't be tied up in how you failed. All the issue is with failure is, Father, thank you that you forgive me. I just did that wicked thing. I just hit him in the face. Father, I thank you that you forgive me. He says, confess your sins. And he's faithful and just to hold them over your head until you promise not to do it again. Is that what he said? 1 John 1:9. He says, confess your sins. And he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Amen? Yes? You sure? Try it. Just confess your sins and thank Him that He's forgiven you. You know, most Christians are just under guilt for days and hours at a time. Amen? Just they think God likes that. They think God's into that. You know, if you'll just feel guilty for a couple of days, and, you know, that'll appease the angry God. He's not an angry God. He's not an angry judge. All of His anger and all of his judgment, there's judgment coming for those who have not received Jesus Christ. But the judgment of sin itself, it was all put upon Jesus Christ. Amen? All judgment for all sins and the power of sin was put on Jesus. In Romans 6, it said, sin shall not have dominion over you. He that is dead, that's you, is freed from sin. So back here, chapter 4, verse 1. And obviously, we're not going to get all the way through. Or at least we're going to jump to the end. So everyone may pay attention that lest the promise of entering into His rest any of you should seem to come short of it. For to us was the gospel preached as well as to them, that is the children of Israel in the desert. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So see, you want to mix this gospel with faith, because you can mix it with unbelief easily. Huh? You can mix it with doubt easily and say, well, I just don't think God's quite that good. He says, the word did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. In other words, God made a promise. So you mix that with faith. You say, okay, God, you said this, now I believe it. You believe it, you said this, now I'm going to agree with it. No matter what I see with my eyes, I'm going to agree with what you said. That you have put your word in me, you put your life in me, that you're going to demonstrate your goodness in me. Even though I look like a rotten person, a person who yells at my children, my neighbors, and I just get all bent out of shape at people. I thank you, Father God, that you're producing in me love, joy, peace, thanksgiving. You're producing in me. This is who I am. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. It doesn't appear that I'm a new creation. But Father, I thank you that I trust you that you are and have made me a new creation. So you've mixed that word with faith. Yeah, it takes a long time to do that. Sorry. But it takes a long time. Because what happens is you fall back. You fall back into your own thinking. Amen? It says, but the word, okay, so we read that, did not mix them, profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now verse 3 is very interesting. It says, for we which have believed have entered into rest. We which have believed have entered into rest. You know, you believe is just a choice. Amen? You can choose to agree with your brains, which say, no, I don't think so. I just don't think it's going to happen. You can choose to believe that. You can choose to believe the unbelief of your head, of your brain. Now, you think this is just mind over matter? No. This is faith over unbelief. Amen? This is faith over unbelief. This is trusting God's word over your experience. Trusting God's word over your experience, your life experience of how you respond to outward stimulus, to outward sins, and those things which come against you on a daily basis. Those who have believed have entered into rest. If I believed, I've entered into rest. But yeah, I'm not sweating any longer. The fact that I normally react in anger to that kind of stimulus, to that kind of attack. I normally react like this when things go wrong. Anybody, you know, when the car goes, you know, how many just go up and just kick the thing? You know, when things just go haywire, you just know everything is going wrong. You know, here's one, Murphy's Law. If everything's going bad, you know, one thing goes bad, everything's going to go bad. I don't agree with that. Why? Because I'm going to believe God. Say all things are working together for my good. They can't work any other kind of way. It's impossible. It's spiritually impossible for things to work any other way than for my good. Well, you look like you're going down the tube, buddy. Well, hallelujah. Glory to God. Did you know what? Underneath are the everlasting arms. You know, even if I go down and go bankrupt and everybody departs from me, you know, and I'm not, you know, I'm just saying, you know, if all that Job stuff were to happen, hey. No, I'd really get mad, I'm telling you. No, I'm just kidding. I'd get mad. How many know that I would probably just fail? The boils would do it to me, that's right, yeah. But I want to build up now. I want to build up now. I want to build up now. And trust Him now. And, you know, of course, you know, even if I do get mad, if I do go under, you know, if I do, you know, just blow up, or, you know, I'm going to have something this week. Somebody will be there, and one of y'all will see me, and I'll just blow up and get mad and, you know, be a hypocrite. You know, even if I were to be a hypocrite, God can still bring me back and have me walk in faith. You believe that? Maybe for you, but I know for me it would be kind of doubtful. Because I'm a mess. But I believe this. I believe God's setting me free from myself, from my old man. I believe He's setting me free from my old man daily. Amen? When He says, I die daily, that's what He's talking about. He's talking about, I die from me and my thinking and the way I want to think. The way I'm used to thinking. I die from that daily. For we which have believed do enter into rest. When Jesus entered the boat, where did it go? Immediately they were at the land. Remember the storm? Jesus come out walking on the water. Jesus got in the boat. Where was the boat immediately? If you read that story, if you read that, the boat was immediately at the land. He that is believed has entered into rest. Then it says here, he's quoting the Old Testament, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest from on the seventh day, from all of his works. And again, if they shall enter into my rest. He's talking about rest. All Paul's doing is bringing you into the understanding that Paul is talking about there's a day of rest that these children of Israel did not enter into. Seeing therefore that it remains that some must enter therein, verse 6, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief, they couldn't enter in because of their unbelief. Again, he limits a certain day, saying in David, that is David says, today, after so long a time, it is said, today, even after all this time, it's said, today, even David is quoted as saying, if you will enter into my rest. I mean, it was said back there in the wilderness. Now here it is with David. David said, if, God's still saying, if you'll enter into my rest, if you'll just believe. Well, we're sluggish, aren't we? We're back at Moses, and then here's David, and then here's us. If you will just believe. Remember when they asked Jesus, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? I think we're almost up to it. For me, this is important. to get up to it. I shouldn't be preaching from down here. I should be preaching from up there. I'm about up to it. What shall we do now that we might work the works of God? You know, it's like the young, rich young ruler, you know. What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Well, do this, this, this. Oh, I've done all that. Oh, well, and Jesus will catch you. Okay, sell all you have. Give it to the poor. And then you'll receive eternal life. And the guy just, oh, God. Yeah, man, talk about a punch and a hole in a balloon. That guy just went, he deflated right there. Amen? And you see, that's what God wants to do with you. He wants to deflate your ability, your greatness, your capacity, your great capacity to, I'm almost there, God. I've made it 900 feet or 800 feet across. Just kind of give me a rope. Nope. No rope. Down you go. Because it's only Jesus. It's none of you and all of Him. Peter says, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. Don't put up your own ability. Hardening your heart is actually putting up your own strength and your own ability, saying, I'll handle it from here. That's hardening your heart. Be weak. Be helpless. Let the Holy Spirit be your strength. For if Jesus, or Joshua in this case, this means this, the word, the translation here is talking about Joshua. Verse 8, for if Joshua had given them rest, he would have not spoken of another day. There remains therefore, still there, still just out there laying there. There's a, nobody's found, it's like the Easter egg nobody found. You know, there's a, there remains a rest to the people of God, but nobody's found it. Remember back in verse 1, he says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. There remains therefore, verse 9, a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he has also ceased from his own works as God did from his. You've entered into rest. If you believed, you'd ceased from your own labor, your own ability to be good, to be a righteous, good Christian. Nobody can be that. Nobody can be that. What you do is you believe and say, Father, I thank you that you have produced by Jesus Christ the love of God in me. Yeah, you know, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he says, you know, if I can, I'm a, without love, I'm a noisy gong. I can preach great messages. I love the one where it says, I can give my body to be burned. And without love, it's nothing. Can you imagine people doing that? Could people do that? Actually give your body to be burned? It seemed to me to be looking like, I'm going to give my body to be burned to be a, what a deception, to be something for God, and it's nothing. It's nothing. You can do all the great things. You can do everything. And it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. He wants you to enter into his rest. He doesn't want you to perform. He wants you to enter into his rest. And then all the work gets done. Well, how does that happen? Nobody would do anything. Well, that's not true. You just don't believe in God. If you're walking with him, his work will get done. If you're believing, his work will get done. Amen? His work will get done. The work will be produced. The whole of the church is working very hard. Now there are people of God working because it's only him. But by and large, the bulk of the church is stymied because they get tripped up by their own sins, their own wickedness, their own failure. Amen? Fear that is entered into rest, he has also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. As God did from God's rested. The guy is rested. For he, okay, let, verse 11 now. Listen to this. Let us labor. Now, this sounds just contradictory, doesn't it? Let us labor. Well, how's he going to deal with that one? Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. What did Jesus tell him? He says, this is, how might we work the works of God? This is the work that you might believe on him whom the Father has sent. This is the work of God, that you might believe on him whom the Father has sent. Back in John chapter 6. Jesus said it. Here's the labor. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest. That rest. That God ceased from his own labors. If you believe, you've entered into rest. So let's rest from our labors as God did from his. Let us labor therefore, that is, believe, and enter into that rest. It's you labor by believing. Now that just sounds, that just sounds too easy and nothing will get done. No, I tell you what, you begin to see, you start resting and you begin to see your sins. You begin to have, the Holy Spirit will begin to show you your sins because you're not so busy in your head. If you'll just worship God and give thanks, spend time worshiping, giving thanks, and allowing him to work in and through you, you'll begin to see, you'll begin to hear testimonies around you that the Holy Spirit is moving in and through you. Amen? Yes. God's going to work in you. He's working in you now as you believe. All right? Now listen here. Now here's the way the work finishes. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now I want you to tie that verse 11 to verse 1. Okay? You remember? You don't want to fall short of entering into his rest. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. That is, believing in yourself, believing in your own power. For the Word of God is alive and powerful. Listen to me. For the Word of God is alive and powerful. Something here about the Word of God will produce something in you in regard to the rest that he is talking about. For the Word of God. So if you want to be not letting slip what? Don't let it slip. Give the more earnest thing, heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. For the Word of God is quick, alive, and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Now, I read something that somebody had interpreted that. Some of the commentaries had interpreted that as dividing soul and dividing spirit. But here, he's dividing soul from spirit. He's making a division between your soul man and your spirit man. You have a spirit which is filled with God's spirit. That spirit has been made alive in Christ Jesus. That is your relation, direct relation to the Father. Is that you are alive in God by the Spirit. You have spirit, soul, and a body. Your body, your soul is at battle and at war because of your thinking, the way you think. You see, Romans 12, 2 talks about renewing, the fact that you want to renew your mind to the truth rather than to lies, to the error, to the old man. All right? For again, 2 Corinthians 5, 17, we talked about old things are passed away, all things have become new. The old man has passed away, the new man has come. Put off the old man, put on the new. Dividing asunder between soul and spirit. It's a divide of the joints and marrow. From joints and marrow, from the outside to the inside. Marrow of the bone is on the inside. The joints or the bone is on the outside, dividing. Another example. And he says, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now the word discerner, now look, I've looked at this, I wanted to look this up in the Greek, is kritikos. Discerning is kritikos. It's skilled in judging. Skilled in judging. The Word of God is skilled in making a division. It is accurate. It's an accurate, you want a tool that's accurate. We've talked about, Pastor Jim talked about the diamond thing a while back. Is that diamond cutter has an accurate tool to cut that diamond just right. Amen? All right. Now, the word that is used down here for a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now the word for in thoughts is basically just that. It's thoughts, like thoughts of the head. Discerner is a divides between thoughts and the intents. Now the intents word is interesting. The intents word is enoia, not anoia, but enoia, which is made out of two words. Which is N, which has to do with being, having it being at its proper place, some part of the whole, within the limits of some space. So, within, that the word N at the beginning, it's a compound word, and nous is the rest of it. Enoia is a compound word of N and nous. And here, the meaning for nous is reason in the narrower sense. So what's definitely dividing between is just thoughts, the way you think, and something else. What is it? Reason, in the narrower sense, has the capacity for spiritual truth, the higher powers of the soul, the faculty of perceiving divine things, and recognizing goodness and of hating evil, or the power of considering and judging soberly, calmly, and impartially. How many know the mind many times is not sober and impartial? How many know your mind, your thinking, your mind, your thought, your first thought is to get that back or to do something. You have an initial reaction to outward stimulus, to offenses, as Leslie Ann was talking about earlier. But then you have a part that is an understanding that the Word of God begins to produce in you, that is the division between thoughts and understanding. Your understanding and your meditation and contemplation of what God has performed becomes separate. You begin to live by every word that is proceeding out of the mouth of God than by every circumstance that presents itself in your face. The Word of God produces this. It is a divider between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it is a kritikos, a divider, a judge between the thoughts and intents of the heart, which produces in you a judgment and an action based on the Holy Spirit. So the Word of God in you, as you meditate upon it, as you think on it, begins to change your outward response and your behavior. Because that Word of God is your ruler. The Word of God is your king. The Word of God, not by just thinking the words, but you are in that meditation, you are worshiping God. Amen? You're not just kind of memorizing scriptures to spout, to say, these certain things to, if I say this enough, it'll happen. Nonsense. It's not about saying stuff fast enough. Amen? It's not vain repetitions. It's your mind is being transformed to believe God rather than men. Amen? Huh? You're being transformed. Hallelujah. Do you believe that God's going to produce that in you? As you meditate upon His Word, He's producing that in you? Amen. Amen. Things that used to cause me fear don't cause me fear anymore. Now, Again, is that perfected? No. It's not perfected. But you know what? It's becoming more perfected. It's becoming more perfected day by day, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. You ever heard of any of those? That's how you grow. You grow a little at a time, don't you? Amen? God's good. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Quickly toward the end here. Neither is there any... Now watch this. He's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And we usually stop there. But I want to keep going here for a minute. Neither. So it's continuing the same thought, isn't it? Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. That means you're on the operating table. You're constantly on the operating table. Amen? You're constantly being worked by the Holy Spirit. There's no creature that's not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The one with whom he deals with us and we are with him. So all of our things, everything we have, all of our wickedness, all of our sin, hallelujah! It's all open to him. Do you know that? Your sins are not hidden. You good person, you. You know what? Every one of us here has sin. And all you have to do is agree and say amen. Don't check it out. Don't check it out. You have to go to the Word of God. Don't check it out and say, well, I think I've covered it all. No. Just agree that, see, as long as you're in this body, sin will be right there with you. You don't have to finish it or produce it or do it every time. But you know what? It's right there. And God knows that it's right there. And what his desire is to do is to totally set you free from it. So it doesn't whip you and beat you and cause you stress. See, remember over there in 2 Corinthians 4, it says, you know, in the world we have trouble. You know, we're troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. You know, I used to be in despair. I used to be in despair a lot, but I'm not near as much as I used to be. I used to be, I used to be distressed. I mean, that's the world's big word now, stress, right? Stress causes everything. I'm troubled on every side, but I'm not stressed. Go figure. It's because of the love of God, because he loves me, because he's transforming me. Okay? Seeing then, that just takes us back to verse 4, you'd be paying attention. Seeing then, actually, we take you back to chapter 3, verse 1, where it's consider Jesus. Consider him. Consider him. Consider Jesus. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Seeing then, as we're considering him, that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Even though everything is trying to get me to let loose of my testimony that God is good and the Word of God is producing in me life and I do not have to walk and be offended. Hallelujah. Let us hold fast. What's that? By believing. You've left the rest. If you quit believing, you've left your rest, you begin to labor. And your labor produces, you know what that labor produces? Sin. You've gotten out of your rest. You got up out of your rest. By golly, I'm going to take care of this myself. For we don't have a high priest which can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. So we're looking unto Jesus. But was in all points tempted like as we are, but yet without sin. Let us therefore now. See, our problem is a lot of time when people preach this scripture, it's like, by golly, we're believing God for the greatest and the best and the top. You know, let us go boldly into the throne of God. Now, from what I can see here, this is when you're looking things is looking bleak and God has exposed you and your wicked ways. Some do sin. But here's what he says. He's come, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, even though it looks like we should come sheepishly. Weakly, cowardly, cowering. Oh my, he's going to get me. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. Help in time of need. How many times do you have need? All the time. How often is God good? God is good all the time. How often do I need help? All the time. Amen. Well, hallelujah. For the Word of God is quick and powerful. He divides between soul and spirit. He's a discerner. The Word of God discerns. And so that's why you meditate on His Word day and night. Well, you know what? God's good, isn't He? Amen. Amen. Are you getting blessed? Are you a new creation? Do you know that you're a new creation? And you're living like that because, not doing, but living like that, believing. See, he who has believed is entered into rest. So do you believe? Huh? Amen. Let's stand together. Father, we magnify you. Let's lift our hands and give him praise. And I want you to praise God out of your mouth so you can hear yourself. Amen. Out of your mouth. Open your mouth up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I praise you, Lord God, with all of my strength. I love you.